All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started. This is the last official session for the day, but just a reminder, 45 minutes from now, for those of you that wanted to continue the discussion that we had earlier around academic freedom, Kurt from the EFF is going to come back, one of the two panelists, and help lead the discussion. So those of you that are interested, please stay after David's talk and discussion, and we can talk a little bit more about those interesting discussion we had earlier. So it's my pleasure to introduce David Wagner. David's a professor at UC Berkeley. The number of things he's done in his impressive career, too numerous to mention, but more familiar with his recent work in voting and some of the Android and mobile security, especially at the stuff at Soups, some great stuff. And he's going to be talking and leading discussion today about wearable computing and the future security problems that that might cause for us.
All right, thank you. So I was hoping we could have a little bit of a discussion about what the future of security might look like in a world with wearable devices. And I was hoping we could get your opinions on that. But first, before we do that, I thought maybe it'd be fun. Let's see if we get a count. How many wearable devices are there in this room right now? How many of you are wearing a wearable device? And I'm not going to count a phone. All right, cool. That's an interesting baseline. Maybe we'll have to do this count again in future years. All right, so just to say a little bit about what the technology that I think is coming, I think we might see some cool stuff in the future. And to get us all on the same page for the discussion, I thought I would give you a little, just a teeny bit of a background. So wearable devices that you might see in the future and the technology that might help drive them. I think we all have heard about Google Glass, so I don't need to really say anything about Google Glass. And maybe many of you are familiar with this. Do you know what this is? That's a Fitbit. And what's a Fitbit? A Fitbit is a health monitoring device. It keeps track of how many steps you've walked. It's a digital pedometer, and how many flights of stairs you've walked up and down, and lets you plug into your computer and tracks it, and lets you connect with other friends and see how you're doing compared to others. And surprisingly, effective little motivator just to be able to have those kinds of gamification and social side of things. There's a Kinect. This is another existing device. Starting with some existing devices that we already have and are out there, don't require any imagination or projection. Kinect has a pretty cool sensor. It's not just a webcam, but also depth perception. Here's another device we don't think of as a wearable computer, maybe, but that is. That's a hearing aid. It's kind of cool that it's not very perceptible. And if you look at what's in hearing aids, they're awesome. They're so cool. In hearing aids these days, you've got a little microphone, a sensor. You've got a computer that's doing real-time digital processing on the sense signal, and then a speaker that's putting the sound into your ear. And these things have a wireless connection between them, so both sides are talking to each other, and they're doing cool digital signal processing. Like one mode of operation that they have is they can actually do localization to some extent, tell what sound is coming from in front of you as opposed to what's behind you, and amplify the stuff in front of you on the theory that you're more likely to be talking to someone in front of you rather than, and so the din from the cocktail party behind you is not amplified. Very cool. You want to think about where this could go in the future as like a part of a way of communicating with you as a system of wearable devices. I think it's kind of an interesting piece to look at. Looking out at future, of course, there's lots of speculation about wristwatches and what we might see, and will Apple come out with one? And so this might be another form factor we might see wearable devices. Then there's shoes. Okay, well, maybe not this one, but there's been research projects that have looked at sticking stuff in your shoes and what can you do with that? Well, one obvious thing you could do with that is more of this health monitoring stuff. Might also be a reasonable way you could have some computation because, your shoe has some volume, so you could actually put like a battery in there and stuff. But also there's been some interesting research, like suggestion that you have a little camera sensor in your shoe that could observe your hands, and you could do hand gestures, and they can observe things about you from your shoes that might be hard to get a view of you from anywhere else. course, pretty much, you know, anything you wear, you could imagine. So here's a belt. You can't quite see it in this lighting, but that's a, you know, there's a breadboard and there's a little gizmo there. And this is a research prototype of a device that I think is used for folks with epilepsy, but you could imagine all sorts of computing power in your belt or jewelry or, and then of course there's your clothes. Well, that's just some guy and that's just some clothes. You don't see anything, and that's because I think, you know, project out in the future, you might see clothes that have sensors embedded in that you just, you don't perceive. Okay, so maybe there's lots more technology that I haven't quite anticipated, but some of the things that I would pull out from here that are interesting is new opportunities are devices provide the opportunity for continuous computer vision. Whatever you see, the device can see. Continuous speech recognition, whatever you hear, the device can hear. And if Siri, you know, and other, you know, Dragon Dictate and so on and other things can do today, speech recognition, project out 10 years and imagine what kind of continuous speech recognition. You might be able to have devices that are listening to all your conversations and extracting the textual content and the tone and understanding an awful lot about your interactions. And then, of course, the opportunity for real-time, unobtrusive, discrete communication with you. So I'm not, you know, doing something socially awkward and pulling out a device, but, you know, maybe it can real-time prompt me. Okay. Any other technology that you think might be interesting that we should keep in our minds that might help drive future? What did I miss?
Lots of things in medical.
Yeah. Lots of things in medical. Thank you. Blood sugar level sensing for diabetes or heart monitoring. What's that? Yep. There have been already experiments that show success at implanting implanted hearing aid that goes directly into your nerves, and that over a couple of weeks your brain learns to hear. You could imagine lots of other far out things. EEGs or sensing, you know, right now the form factor is pretty horrible. I wouldn't want to wear one of those things with sensors on my head, but I don't know. I don't know the physics. I could imagine it might not be implausible to imagine a future where I have at least something that can sense some element of mental state, like alertness or not, or basic mood, like am I crazy frustrated or am I kind of relaxed? Yeah, what else did I miss? Anything else?
All of these are kind of sensing devices. Do you think you're going to have their maturation?
Yeah, that's a good question.
What will I do?
Yeah.
Medical diagnostics would be an area for this, because, like, you're sometimes trying to determine if you have a seizure or something, you need to wear something for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, okay.
Or even like if somebody has heart trouble, like you need to monitor for another show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's probably lots more. Like another that I didn't think of was, that I forgot to mention, was wearable devices for sports and athletics that are tracking my body movement. All right. So let's move on to applications. I thought before we talk about security, we could talk about what devices we might see and what the applications might be, and then we could talk about security challenges. Yes?
I was going to say, what about
camouflage? Camouflage? Interesting. What did you have in mind?
Stealth.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that'd be an actuator, wouldn't it, in some sense? Applications. Anybody have any favorites? Talk about applications, and then maybe that'll help us drive some of the security discussion.
Communications.
Yeah. And what does Star Trek folks use their communicator for? Well, communicator. Communications? Yeah? Communications? Is that it? Oh, come on. We're more creative. OK. Okay, so that's an interaction method. I'm not sure if I'd call it an application yet, yeah?
Storage.
Storage? Okay. There's a handful of devices that have been used, I think, for games and also for relaxation, where you know you put a couple of sensors on your head, and then they monitor your brain waves, and they're kind of sort of okay. So authentication. Ah, thank you. That's an application. Augmented memory, yes, yes, yes. Sees the face of someone that I've met before, but I just can't remember their name. Yeah, okay.
What?
Language? What do you mean by language? Oh, translation. Thank you, yes. Yep. Yeah, instant replay, yep.
Augmented reality is a big one.
Yeah, augmented reality is a big category of stuff. Anything in that particular category?
Remote location monitoring, I guess it's here for prisoners, but they can monitor kids or truck drivers or employees.
Mm-hmm. For instance, if you think about the current wearable device that parolees are wearing, that's a GPS and a maybe a wireless at all, but is basically all that's on those current devices, and they're kind of big. But you could imagine what that might look like in a future world where wearable devices are super small. Imagine they can, you know, hear your conversations, observe everything around you. Yeah, okay, all right, yeah. Yeah, I want that. Every time I sit down and eat something, maybe it could, you know, automatically look at my food and estimate the calories, or the, for diabetics, maybe what the blood, you know, blood sugar impact's going to be, or. Yeah. I'll tell you some of the ones I came up with before, you know, before we'll see how this compares to your list. So augmented reality, yup. Some examples that already exist today with phones, like there's a view of the street and the computer vision thing is and locations, recognizing where you are and overlaying some information about like directions. So that'd be cool, wouldn't it? Like augmented reality for directions. Here's another one that's recognizing the area and providing some facts for you, like from Wikipedia. Yeah? Oh, I don't remember. The name of the app?
Yeah,
I don't remember. Just like a dozen of these. Personal assistant, yeah, remembering faces, remembering facts about people. Maybe you could imagine that this reminds me of the person's, you know, name of their child or whatever. They mentioned it to me in a previous conversation 3 years ago, and it's, you know, automatically listening to that conversation and filing away some facts and reminding me. Collaborative sensing. We didn't talk a lot about this, but I could imagine some cool applications. One that I saw some research on using phones was earthquake detection using the accelerometer in the earth, in the millions of people all have phones with accelerometers, and you could imagine how that distributed sensing might enable you to detect earthquakes very rapidly. But some ones are maybe a little more realistic, like, I don't know, I could imagine. Wouldn't it be cool if, let's say, I don't know, let's say there was an app that was offering, if you give it access to your vision stream, it will, you know, give you some rewards or some small payments in some way. Then you could imagine tasking that on sort of crowdsourcing, physical crowdsourcing, to do all sorts of interesting things. Like, let's say you want to map all the power outlets in this building or every airport or every public space, you know, then you just by doing computer vision and capturing that from hundreds of thousands of people, you might be able to, seems like there might be some interesting things you could do here. Health and monitoring, we talked about that one. There's a whole range of things there. I could imagine that this might be helpful for like monitoring, I don't know, elderly folks, do they have a fall, is everything okay? Sports and exercise, I love tennis. I would love a device that like could give me immediate feedback in real time, like, ah, you gotta hit the ball out in front of you a little more. And people have prototyped this for, you know, golf and other things. And you could even imagine, maybe to get at some of the like interesting security and privacy challenges, if we think about a glass or something with computer vision, maybe it can't see me, but it might be able to see my partner, and my partners might be able to see me, and maybe our two of us could hook up, and so they're talking to each other, and you know, my thing is using the output of the vision of my partner looking at me. Okay. Real-time advice, maybe I read too much science fiction, but I've read one book where part of the premise was there was this, you know, cool computer AI that was monitoring everything everyone did and had an implant and would provide people little spontaneous suggestions like, you know, you're walking somewhere, take a right here and follow this other route, and along the way you like see a pretty sight or something, or go pick that flower and walk over a block and hand it to the person wearing black, and that person wearing black was someone who was really down that day and needed just a little pick-me-up, and the computer sort of, you know, worked out someone else to tell them to do something to make them feel better. You know, oh, hey, you might want to meet this person at the party. I think you'll find them interesting. All right. So there's already some cool research in this area, and I don't know if any of the authors, I didn't notice any of the authors here in the audience, but if you haven't read these papers, go check them out. There's an awesome paper at Oakland that talks about privacy for computer vision applications, so that the applications don't gain full raw access to the raw video stream, but only the parts they need. There's a very cool paper here about operating system support for wearable security, so go to that talk. This is gonna be awesome. Another really nice paper at HotOS looks at this topic as well. So lots of other very cool research going on here. But I thought what maybe we could do is we could discuss a little bit about what the technical community, what problems we should be thinking about. So I wanted to see if we could use this time to like get ahead of the problem, rather than waiting for the technology to be deployed and running into security problems and realizing, oh, I wish we'd thought about that 5 years ago. Maybe we could have a little bit of discussion about what some of those might be. So let's start the discussion. Does anyone have any they want? I have a whole bunch of suggestions, but does anyone want to start the discussion with any research challenges, what you think the security and privacy challenges of the future ought to be, and what, as a technical community, we ought to be working.
Oh.
On these devices will be to make sure that they are single-purpose devices, you know, to try to avoid the curse of the universal Turing machine thing, because in my own personal case, before I decide to put something underneath my skin, I want to make sure that I know that it does one thing and one thing only, and that it cannot be upgraded to do something else. And that's maybe not research as much as education, or maybe the technical problems there are how do we properly upgrade or fix problems in these devices while keeping them in a very constrained computational model.
So that's a fascinating one. I'd be curious to hear what your predictions are. If I had to make a prediction, my prediction would be we're going to see this stuff hit the market and it is going to be programmable. that you are going to be able to extend it and you're going to be able to download apps. How many people agree with that or disagree with that? Does anyone agree? How many disagree? Maybe it depends on the device.
My concern is we currently have an application development ecosystem. The economic ecosystem is entirely focused around free applications that are then supported by advertising in some form. And I suspect that everybody building these things is going to be looking to get that revenue stream. And I'd love to have devices that are working on my behalf and not on an advertiser's.
Yeah, do people think that the future application development is going to be similar, that a large fraction of the applications are going to be advertising supported? Huh? By the access to the data? Yeah, so that's fascinating to think about the implications. If we think that a lot of the applications you're going to want to run are going to be supported by ads. If you think that, for instance, continuous speech recognition is a key part of this, and right now part of how we do make that effective is by uploading data to the cloud and performing that in the cloud. Okay.
There might be things because of maybe these devices would be hooked up to things like biometric authentication and stuff, and we might be seeing new classes of vulnerabilities that we, you know, haven't anticipated when you hook up to different types of systems, both of which are new technologies.
So here's a good question for you. If you think authentication is going to be a valuable use case of wearable devices, how many of you, what would you expect? Do you think that this will make more sense and will be more effective as an integrated function of a wearable device you use for other purposes, or will be separate for authentication only?
It's going to be integrated for most people. It's the way you'll have it with you for some other reason. That's why phones are so useful.
So it could do liveness sensing. So it seems like, I feel like one of the challenges for authentication might be how to verify intent, right? Typically when you want to authenticate, I'm authenticating for a purpose. Like I want to authenticate so I can access my email, or I want to authenticate so that I can permit this transaction, this financial transaction to happen. If I think about what some of the security challenges, maybe I can ask you what you think some of the security challenges in supporting authentication are, but I'll see the list with, I think one might be, what kind of attack does that suggest? It suggests maybe trying to convince you to do an authentication for something that you think is anonymous, that you think is innocuous, right? And then turning around and actually using that to, you know, clean out your bank account.
So what I'm going to say is I'm going to reduce it to the previously unsolved problem of comprehensible usable access controls. Mm-hmm. I want to know where my data is going. I want to understand what's happening to it. I want to understand who has access to this augmented device of mine, which we already don't know how to do for any other computer system. And it's going to be magnified by the very different and generally limited physical interface. You know, if I'm wearing a pacemaker, it doesn't really have a keyboard and display and mouse to go check the access control for who my doctor is or which health insurance company gets to see that data. Plus the comprehensibility part, which I said we already don't know how to do. And as these things have richer and more unusual communication and usage patterns, then it becomes even more of a challenge. Maybe some of these will lend themselves towards unique solutions that don't work in the general case. Maybe some won't.
So because they're wearable devices, you're going to have to be cognizant not only of the wireless connections, but could somebody looking at you or taking pictures of you actually determine information from your devices because they're wearable? So you have all the telemetry issues to consider. That's kind of more engineering, but still involves the security aspect.
So for instance, let me give an example of, I think, a fascinating example of that with current technology. Work showing that the accelerometer on your phone could be used for all sorts of surprising ways to infer surprising things, like if it's sitting on the table next to your laptop while you're typing, to maybe reconstruct some partial information about what you're typing, or to reconstruct partial information about your movements, your location, like as you walk or drive down a road. So that seems like that's a rich research area there, is to look at sensing, all the other sensing modalities, and now what surprising inferences can be drawn.
Right, and how to protect that.
Is this working? Yeah. So I just had a point. I think with respect to technical problems in the research community, in my mind, and I hate to throw out a new threat model because everyone in security hates hearing new threat model with quotes around it, but with respect to wearable or embedded being my body, this sort of new computing lends itself to almost 100% physical access to the devices in which are doing computing. So if it is sensitive information, you would imagine now, whereas you used to have a data store somewhere that might not be physically accessible, well, now it's on my person. So to me, this sort of gives that crypto rubber hose paper a whole new meaning. If I'm doing authentication with a wearable device, well, I'm just going to take you out back and beat you until you authenticate for me, and now I have access to whatever private thing it is that I wanted to sort of coerce out of you. So it's sort of parallel to the argument, I guess, with electronic voting, where it was, hey, this is great, electronic voting, you can be at home, but I can be coerced because now you know that I'm not at the voting center, I'm in my house, so just come in there and harass me until I vote a certain way. So I think the threat model is going to greatly change, not only because of physical, but there's also, you know, with respect to like low-powered devices, how much computation can I really get out of the device? How many additional features can I get out of the device? Those sorts of questions.
What do you think? Do you think this is going to be a big problem? So I was wondering about that before this discussion, and let me share with you a possible counter argument against the theft and rubber hose coercion is going to be a big problem. I have car keys in my pocket, and if you steal my car keys, you get $10,000 worth of car or something. So we roughly know about how to deal with that problem and about how big a deal it is, and we're willing to live with that. What do you think? Theft, coercion? Should this be a major focus for our community? Do you want to comment on that or start a new topic?
I think that was a good analogy to the car because of what's going on in technology in our cars right now, where we're losing our anonymity in the world. People can tell where we're at, OnStar and all that, can unlock your doors for you. And I think it's the same type of privacy concerns that people are already accepting that they really haven't pushed back a lot on, and there's being more ingrained to it And this might just be one of those things that the average person just doesn't really understand the ramifications of it.
So you brought up privacy, so let me use that as an opportunity to segue to, I can see two kinds of privacy. Maybe we could talk about both if you think they're interesting. One kind of privacy is privacy for bystanders. So if I'm wearing a wearable device, privacy for all of you that are in the field of vision or the field of hearing or sensing of my device. And then the other kind of privacy is privacy for me, the one wearing the... So starting for bystanders, you know, I think this is a fascinating one. If I look at some of the news coverage of Google Glass, I see this is coming up as maybe one of the most prominent, kind of skeptical factors about it, the other being distraction and disengagement from social interaction. If we think of this as a potential barrier to adoption of the technology, if we don't solve it as technologists, right, there's always the risk with this that this gets solved through regulation. The regulators come in and regulate. And it's not too far-fetched to imagine ways in which you might be regulated. For instance, I think, is it South Korea, where cell phone cameras are required to make a clicking sound if I understand correctly, when they take a photo? Is there hope for providing protection for privacy for bystanders? Is this technologically solvable?
I think on one side of it, there, let's say that a lot of the current privacy for bystanders is gone already because of all the surveillance cameras and everything else. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to stop you from walking around with a camera in your pocket and just doing whatever you want. The problem comes in with some of the things like Google Glass is the direct posting of that to the net or the dissemination of that information once it's there. So many times we see things being taken out of context where, you know, you're walking past somebody, you catch a snippet of a conversation that was, in just that snippet, it sounded totally racist, biased, bigoted, whatever, and that gets posted, and, you know, you missed the moments or minutes of conversation before that where they said, and this is an example of a really racist comment. And, you know, without that there, it's like, yeah, it's racist, and the guy's, you know, political career is just down the tube. Mm-hmm. There's a big problem in this space, and I don't think it's going to be a technology solution on that. So unless we can walk around with some sort of a field generator that you know, blocks all of those access from actually taking place.
Let me predict a candidate response to that. So I think what I hear you saying is there's no technical solution. So let me come back at you. Let me just push back a little bit. Imagine that legislators hear that there's no technical solution. And imagine the public was upset enough about it. I don't know whether they will be or not, but imagine they were, and imagine you're an ambitious regulator. It's not that hard to imagine an ambitious regulator saying, We're gonna legislate, and we're gonna mandate, for instance, I don't know, a blinking LED whenever the thing is recording, and we're gonna mandate that this has to. And then, as a technologist, you're gonna say, but people can just, you know, load new apps or, you know, reprogram. And so the legislator might come back and say, okay, we're gonna legislate. This can't be jailbroken. The new devices have to be unjailbreakable. Is that a good outcome for us as a community? People think we're. Is that a threat? Legal or societal or personal or?
So, this is a public setting, so there's really no expectation of privacy.
Yeah, can I chime in with something?
So privacy is very complex, right? I'm certainly not an expert on it. I think if we talk to privacy folks, you might get a nuanced answer that says, look, people's expectations are you know, based in part about the norms and, you know, sort of social protocols about interaction. So in some senses, this is a public space. On the other hand, there are certain actions that if I were to take, you would probably look at me and say, wow, that's pretty sketchy that you did that. If I secretly took a video of you, you know, saying something, and I edited it to like pick out some damaging looking excerpts, and then I posted it on YouTube and I said, look at how stupid this, you know. I think that you might be a little upset, right? Because that would violate a norm and convention we have about acceptable behavior. So I don't know if there's a simple, from the perspective of, you know, societal human interaction, I don't know if there's a simple answer there. You can just say, this is public, and so therefore there are no going to be no issues.
So I think there's two examples that play well into this privacy thing. So there's the, I pulled it up on my web browser, some sort of cheating, but there's a privacy course at Hopkins, and it told us about this Kylo versus the United States. And it was basically using thermal imaging for the police authorities such that they could detect thermal anomalies in houses as they drove by. And so you'd imagine someone, if they're in illicit drug growing operations, you might pick up very high heat signatures. And so it was actually found that, you know, the authorities had no right because it was invasive on the privacy because it was, you know, within the person's home. And so a more recent example of this is the drones. So, you know, there's a very large population of people playing with their newly acquired drones. And you owned your, you know, your property, but you don't actually own the semblance thereof. So you don't own the air above your property. So then they get into a privacy issue of, if I fly my drone at approximately 12 feet and look into your second story window, am I really compromising your privacy? So I think these arguments are very parallel with wearable computing, because if you're thinking about privacy of bystanders, it's sort of already problems that we've sort of been thinking about. So I think it's more fodder for the cannon, maybe, and I think there needs to be some sort of legislation, because if not, then these things can get out of control very fast.
Goes over your property, whatever is over your property, you can do with whatever you want. Which means if you go out there and take a baseball bat to the drone or a slingshot or, you know, a 12 gauge, depending upon where you're at, do they have any claim to the fact that you destroyed their property?
I would suggest the legal questions we might not want to talk about, because my understanding is it's a little more complex than probably most of us here are expert in. I've been reading about it. Little tricky.
But that's the area we're in.
For instance, if you forget something in my house, does that mean I can just keep it and you know, knowing that you lost it, and can I just, you know, keep it for myself? Well, actually the law, that's a little complicated. It's not quite finders keepers. So all right, so let's maybe talk about a technical topic. What's your Steve, yes?
Kalia, mandatory law enforcement access to these devices.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you to get out your crystal ball and speculate. Think like an attacker. What do you think attacks of the future might look like?
More government coercing, I guess, or rather compelling people to do things. I don't see that going away.
Okay.
I think there'll be an opportunity to put things in the physical environment that will manipulate how the sensors are responding and interpreting what you see. So, you know, be able to project confusing images or false images or data that's easy to misinterpret.
Oh my gosh, let me seed this. I can't believe nobody wants to talk about speculated attacks. So let me try to help seed this discussion a little more. Social engineering. What will social engineering look like if I have a heads-up display or something in my ear that can communicate to me?
Thank you.
For instance, for translation kind of thing, is that what you're thinking about? Okay, so what if we don't look quite that far out? So it's not actually in my brain, but it's still a wearable device. How will attackers make money?
We see it now with web advertisements on your phone based on locality. They can also become an expert in anything they want. So if you want to talk to something to a
network operations center, for example, somebody's just feeding you the lines, you just tell it to the person, they go, oh, that's right, you work here, you're on the third shift, so I'll let you in.
Like it's not bad enough already. I mean, that's so quite out there, but a lot of the business model of some of these big companies like
Apple and Google is about getting data from our mobile devices. And that's sketchy because sometimes they're off, sometimes we forget them, but if we don't forget them, they're never off because it's based on the of the devices we have on us. Then the quality of that data, the applications of that data are times 10 now. So that's how you can make a lot of money, right? You know where people are, you know what they're doing, maybe. That's probably more of a threat, really.
All right, so I'll name drop and say TerraSwarm, and then maybe you'll know where I'm going with this. So if you have devices embedded that are supposedly going to be computed in some sort of cloud, you can imagine this gross actuation over data that if I can inject fake data, I can make the actuators go, oh my God, it's an earthquake, it's panic mode, and then you've released cyber-physical pandemonium everywhere. So I think that'd be a really big motive for an attacker. If I have a really targeted thing, well, I might as well just create chaos.
I think it's interesting no one's mentioned surveillance or blackmail or extortion, but if you want to think about nation state actors, what might they be motivated to do? Economic espionage seems like an interesting opportunity. Maybe the last one we could think about is, what do you think companies are going to be worried about? I'll tell you one. I'll get you started. I think I saw reports in the news that IBM tells their employees not to use Siri because they don't want sensitive, you know, corporate secrets making their way to the cloud of a computer, of a competitor. If I walk into a conference room and we're all wearing wearable devices that have microphones and cameras on them, I betcha some employers are going to want to have a way to verify that those are all off. Can we support that? Is there a research agenda that might facilitate that? What are corporate's hot buttons going to be?
Being captured and published, transforming that sort of this is private versus this is a public statement?
Many companies used to ban cameras in the building. It's gotten a little impossible right now, part of why I pulled them out for it, but it's long been a concern. The ban doesn't look like you can export it. Including your employees, not just visitors.
There are still places that ban any sort of camera or recordable media.
All right, I think we're about out of time. Does anyone want to have the last word? All right, thank you. I think we got our work cut out for us as a community. Thank you.